In a case first brought in 2005, the Authors Guild has accused Google of copyright infringement as a direct consequence of the internet giant's efforts to digitize the content of numerous university libraries, including Harvard's. This week, in a final brief before oral arguments, Guild attorneys have again decried the massive book scanning program. Welcome to Copyright Claimant Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. What keeps the Authors Guild up at night is the possibility that Judge Denny Chin will find Google scanning to be fair use and thus not liable for infringement. So the Guild has a favor to ask of Chin. Just dodge the fair use question, please, and let Congress rewrite the law. Publishers Weekly senior writer Andrew Albanese joins me now with more on this story and all the week's news in book publishing. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So indeed, this is a case that has taken its time, and the wheels of justice do grind slowly. You'll be back in federal court, but not in the usual courtroom.
That's right. Next week, I'm going to be back in federal court, but not in Judge Denise Coates' courtroom. Though maybe I will be in Judge Denise Coates' courtroom, because Judge Chin has to look for a courtroom now that he's on the appeals court. He's going to be borrowing someone's courtroom. But you're right. I'm going to be back for the long-running Google case. And it just hit me. I just looked up today. This week marks to the day the 8th anniversary of the Authors Guild suit first being filed against Google. And boy, what a long and twisted path that it has been to get to this point, including 3 years stumping with Google and the publishers for that ill-fated controversial settlement. There's been a decisive fair use ruling in a parallel case in a suit filed by the Guild against the HathiTrust, which were Google's university library scanning partners. There's been an appeal of class action status, which Google won, reversing the Authors Guild class action status. And now, 8 years later, here we are back in federal court, finally going to hear the oral arguments on fair use.
Well, indeed. So what can we expect to hear when these parties get back before Judge Chin?
Well, what we're going to hear is each side's oral arguments for summary judgment. You know, both sides have asked the judge to grant them a victory based on the evidence submitted thus far. You know, in a nutshell, this is the long-awaited, if I would say eagerly avoided, trial over fair use. And we're here now largely because the Court of Appeals, in reversing Judge Chin's decision to grant the Authors Guild class action status, the Second Circuit said that the fair use needed to be sorted out before he could consider a class. So here we are. We're talking about fair use. For the Authors Guild, their argument is going to boil down to this. That Google Books is not some public service, but it's a commercial attempt to gain an advantage over other search engines and to generate ad revenues, all based on this corpus of material that Google created but did not pay the authors for. Google counters that its scans offer tremendous public benefits, as well as benefits to the authors whose books are included, and it argues there's no evidence at all of any harm to copyright holders, whether through lost sales or through piracy or any of that. Google does not display in copyright books beyond snippets. It merely takes these old books, most of which, were all moldering on library shelves, and it makes them now discoverable on the web. In its briefs, the Authors Guild, however, lays out a few points that it's going to argue. For example, it argues that Google breaks the law by actually distributing digital copies to university libraries, and that its scanning puts authors at risk of being hacked, that this corpus could somehow be broken into, and then all these books would be free around the world. You know, it also harms authors, the Authors Guild says, by taking their works without permission, which they say kills any chance of licensing these works in the future. Google counters that it does not distribute these copies, that the libraries are merely entitled to go on the Google servers and take scans of their books. Now, it's important to note that these are their books. These are scans of books that the libraries bought and owned. Libraries can't take copies of other libraries' books. They can only take digital copies of their books. Google also argues that there's no security risk at all, and indeed, there's no evidence of any book being hacked, and evidence that Google's security system is pretty damn tight, actually. Most of the expert testimony shows that it's a pretty good system as far as digital systems go, as you would expect of Google. Now, as for taking the books without permission and creating this corpus, you and I both know fair use doesn't require permission. And in American copyright law, authors do not enjoy moral rights. That is the right to control pretty much across the board how their works are used. And Google's takings, attorneys argue, fall squarely within the law protected by fair use. And on a final note, as for the licensing opportunity, Google is very very blunt about this. There is no license market for licensing books for search, Google argues. They would never pay for someone to be included in their search, and there never will be a market for licensing search, they argue. Thus, there is no market harm.
Well, indeed, what's interesting about this is a concern around fair use, of course, whether or not the court is the right venue to decide all of this. And indeed, this came up during the settlement debate, and the Authors Guild is stressing that indeed the court is not the proper place; that it should be Congress that tackles this issue. So here we are now, 8 years later. They're trying to move it away from court and into Capitol Hill. How do those arguments play out?
I don't think those arguments play out very well at all. I think the courts, I don't think they want to defer to Congress for the most part. But, you know, in my personal opinion, the argument is a non-starter. You know, in its final brief, the AG did ask Chin to basically, you know, shoot down the Google fair use questions and let Congress sort them out later. It called the book scanning project such a cutting-edge technology, and that, you know, fair use was never designed to handle this kind of industrial-size scanning. Now, whether or not you believe that, it's actually not a bad discussion to have. You know, I don't think the courts do believe that they want to punt this to Congress. You know, and for one, book scanning is hardly cutting edge technology. It just isn't, not anymore. Certainly not compared to the kind of technology that's coming before the courts these days. But second, you know, the Guild already made this argument, the exact same argument to Judge Harold Baer in the HathiTrust case, and he swatted it aside easily. But something James Grimmelman told me about the leave it to Congress argument from my report really kind of speaks to where we are in this case. You know, the Congress argument is an argument in favor of the status quo, we said, because it asks the judges to stand back and keep things as they are until Congress can make any needed changes. You know, but 8 years into this case, the Google Books program is the status quo now. You know, if the Guild truly believed that Google scanning was so dire a threat, it would have sought a preliminary injunction, James said, you know, which it did not. And it would not have pursued this audacious settlement, he notes. And the AG is litigated at a pretty leisurely pace in general. The Guild, simply put, Grimmelman argues, missed its opportunity to pitch this as some sort of massive threat that Congress should have to take up immediately. You know, and 8 years later, really, now as we go to court, the world has changed. You know, the publishers have settled. They're out of this. The ebook market has grown. And, you know, the chaos that was predicted when this suit was first launched in 2005, it just hasn't come to pass. And Judge Chin, for his part, is on the appeals court now. And this is his last holdover case from the district days. How much longer does he really want to keep moonlighting in a borrowed courtroom on Pearl Street? You know, I believe that there's a really good chance that he's going to decide this case at the summary judgment stage. And, you know, in the HathiTrust case, Judge Harold Baer kind of hit the nail on the head. He didn't want to be the guy that ordered 20 million scanned books, most of them out of print and moldering, destroyed. You know, knowing especially that no one is ever going to undertake this kind of program again. So do we think Judge Chin wants to sign that order? Is he the guy that wants to be the one to order 20 million scanned books destroyed? You know, I have a hard time seeing it.
That's a really great analysis, Andrew. And I think the point that a lot has happened in 8 years, something that the Guild and not even Google could have imagined, a world so different from 2005 that it's unrecognizable. Pre-mobile, pre-YouTube, pre-Twitter, pre-so much that we take for granted, and indeed pre-ebook marketplace.
I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, frankly, as to the security risks, I just don't see a lot of people breaking into Google system to get copies of, you know, 50-year-old books that are out of print. You know, the security is pretty tight on this. I don't think there's a heck of a lot in terms of security issues here. It's just, I think it's time to wind this one down.
Well, we'll see what Judge Chin says. He has the last word on all of it. And finally, our last word this week is a preview of Frankfurt Book Fair. And I suppose one way to look at that is that how much of it is really a book fair anymore? It's really very much a media fair. Clearly, it's the central place for the book business around the world to meet and greet each other once a year. They do that in Frankfurt. But it really is remarkable, too, how that whole conference has changed. And give us an idea of what people can expect.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that one as well. So in Monday's issue is our pre-Frankfurt issue, and it will include Rachel Diehl's briefcase, in which she, as always every year, sort of runs down the rights and the titles that publishers and agents are going to be bringing to Frankfurt. But, you know, the Frankfurt organizers would be very happy to hear you sort of cast it as a media fair. They've done great work over the years to really keep the fair fresh. And it's shown in that in an age when everyone sort of questioned the value of international book fairs, their attendance stabilized and it's been going up steadily. In fact, the Wright Center at Frankfurt is now in its 35th. This is the 35th anniversary for the start of the Wright Center at Frankfurt. And it's got more space and more agents and is doing more deals than ever before. Now, gone are the, you know, multi-million dollar huge big book deals. We really don't see a lot of those anymore, but we see a really steady volume of deals there. What we really see at Frankfurt now is this multimedia component. You have the Story Drive conference. You have the, before the show, there's the Contact Digitals conference. You have gamers. You have movie producers. Frankfurt has really become the place where people sort of gather to talk about media, content, stories. Really, it comes down to stories. And I think one of the great things that I've experienced at Frankfurt over the year is that how well they've all meshed together. One of the Frankfurt organizers told me that, you know, they would very much love the conference to be known as a media fair, but they'll never stop calling it the Frankfurt Book Fair. It will always be the Frankfurt Book Fair. And I thought that was a pretty interesting take on the future.
Indeed it is. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. This is my first time to travel to Frankfurt for the book fair, and looking forward to seeing you there and so many who listen to us every week. And so if anybody wishes to make an appointment with me or with anybody at Copyright Clarence, and we'll just give a plug for that, we have a place to do that online at rightscentral.copyright.com. You can book an appointment or stop by our booth. So we look forward to seeing people, and we look forward to chatting with you on the floor of Frankfurt Book Fair about the program itself.
Yeah, well, I'll see you at the Frankfurter Hof. We'll have a good German beer.
Indeed, I look forward to that. Andrew Albany, senior writer at Publishers Weekly, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure as always, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. Follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.